Welcome to Best in Class, the podcast where we talk about the best versions of the best cars. Thank you for joining me, Steve, and my good friend Adam.
Aloha, Steve.
As we argue over when our favorite cars were at the top of the game. How's it going, Adam?
Oh, it's going great. It's a beautiful Monday here in Los Angeles. All my cars are working. Some of your cars aren't working. Everything's good.
It's raining in Malibu. Topanga Canyon's closed down. It's miserable. And PCH is one lane. And yeah, so that's my story. That's my complaint. I had picked up the, I might have mentioned this earlier, the Ferrari from a little bit of work.
Yeah, the last week you said I took it in for an oil change and they said the entire car is ruined and it needs.
I did have a little bit of body work done earlier in the year, right?
Yes, because you're a clumsy driver.
Yes, yes, I'm. It's because I drive with my driving gloves on. they're actually oven mitts, but I just fantasize that I'm a race car driver, so it's more difficult. So what happened was I got the car back. It was done very well. It was a great job. But I drove in the rain because that's what you do. And what happens is that
all the new paint came off.
Yeah. Exactly. They replaced it with wooden parts.
Yep.
And they had detailed the car.
Oh, of course. And now.
And so it gets wet and just some of the stuff like kind of whatever came from out of the crevices of the car.
Yep. So yeah, exactly. All that dust and stuff.
Yeah, the dust and everything they worked on. He's like, totally normal. He's like, just bring it back. He goes, I didn't think I'd be getting a call from a Ferrari owner that drove in the rain. He's like, I would have mentioned it to you, but I didn't think you'd be driving your car in the rain. So anyway, they're very nice. He's like, you don't need an appointment. Just come back. We'll just re-detail that part, the rear end, and you'll be fine. And so anyway, I thought my car was melting because I have no idea what my car does. And I thought that. So anyway, more importantly, I'm trying to get Defender tires and you're failing me. You said you send me what tires to get.
Okay.
I ask very little of you. Very little of you.
Yeah, but I wish it was nothing. Okay.
Jeez.
Do you have a sticky note and a crayon ready? Honestly, yeah, Steve, this is being recorded. It couldn't be any easier. Just go back and listen to this.
Okay, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sitting over on my computer. Just tell me what it is.
Go buy BF Goodrich KO2s. That's what you want.
And is that going to be in my car size?
How would I know your car size?
But I sent you a picture.
They are the most popular off-road tires right now. It's what everyone's using. Everyone really likes them.
Am I going to be able to drive on the road? What if I want to get my latte? Is it?
Yeah. No. So I was just what I was going to say. It's a really good balance between like road noise and wearing in and actual off-road chops. They're not crazy loud like a lot of Jeep tires you hear. Like these are the sweet spot that everyone really likes. So that's what you want.
I'm going to trust you, which is how all things bad happen.
Yes, that's how you wound up on a podcast with me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's true.
BF Goodrich KO2s. That's what you want.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to do this.
This is my long con to have you slide off the road in Malibu straight into the ocean.
Because I'm going to be confident now.
A confident Steve is not what any of us want to see.
Where do I go to get these things put on? Are you going to do these for me?
No, I'm not going to do this for you. But I can tell you what shop I like.
Okay. Are you not going to say it on the... Are you worried to say it?
They haven't paid me my very exorbitant advertising fee. Okay. So no, I'm not going to say
it. You're worried they're going to blow up? Yeah.
Exactly.
Very thoughtful of you.
Okay. I thought so.
Anyway, back to you. That's all I got for cars.
My cars.
I only have two.
Yeah, like a freaking peasant.
Go ahead.
When you have a fleet like me, this is going to take the rest of
Oh my
the
God. Joel, it's just a junkyard, but go ahead.
podcast. 9/11's doing great. 2002, I'm going to get the carbs tuned by some quote unquote expert. So then that should be set up and just good to go from now on. I'm sick of trying to dial in these carbs. And so I'm taking it to somebody else. You win, Steve.
See? See? Carbs are magical.
They really are.
Yeah.
So, cayenne is great. I am currently welding the bull bar back after my excursion on my birthday where I had to get towed. The bull bar got kind of bent. So I'm like welding it back together into shape. And the Disco, our Discovery 2, co-owned with Diego, we had a junkyard day last weekend, actually. And we
I
went and
think I
checked.
saw some images. I just didn't know where you guys were. I thought you were, yeah.
I generally don't tell you where I'm going. That's kind of the plot. But yeah, we found some good parts that we needed, and it was a fun time stealing parts off these cars. And of course, a couple of friends of ours went with us, got bored right away in Land Rover land, and started wandering around and completely fell in love with the Gucci seat belts in the Fiat 500 Gucci edition. And we're trying to tear those out. But of course, someone had already taken the driver's side. So there were only three, which for me is like, okay, it's done. Forget it. But they're like, oh, I'll just have three. It's fine. And they were desperately trying to get these out. They
I'm
failed.
telling you, Fiat's where it's at.
They failed, by the
Yeah.
way.
You know what?
So that was a fun
Was
time.
that a convertible?
It was not.
Okay.
It was not as a hard top.
Okay.
So.
I have someone that has that car.
Okay.
And they got it. They had to get it towed. I know, pause for laughter. And it was on the back of a tow truck, and it caught the roof, and it tore open the top. Yeah. Because it was funny because the tow truck driver had been there the previous day to take the 308 to the shop, and they were like, "Oh, can you get in here with your car?" And I was like, "Yeah, no problem. Fit fine. Ferrari fit fine." But of course, the Fiat's actually significantly taller than the
Yes.
Ferrari, and it caught the roof. So, but I walked away safely.
Yeah, so that's fine. So that's the update on all the cars. Everything's doing well.
What's the latest Wanderwell plan? Do we know?
We are doing a hockey night on Wednesday. We're gonna go see a Los Angeles Kings game as a group, and then this weekend we are doing our Old West rally. We're gonna go see California like it was in the 1800s, visit some like movie Old West towns, see some cool rock formations, and just kind of the natural environment before people ruined it.
So is this so you guys do activities together, not just driving?
Yeah, we're also gonna go to a Dodgers game this year. I mean, Junkyard Day, that was an activity. Oil
Okay.
change night's an activity, so
Okay. So it's like a cult, essentially.
yeah. I'm working on it.
Okay. That they pay to hang out with you.
Everyone should. The only reason I do this podcast with you is because we make so much money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of making money, I wanted to talk about racing because that's something you have failed at and I have never tried. So,
So which failure's worse, really?
I feel like it didn't cost me as much to be at zero, to get 0 wins. So today we are talking about the race to the clouds. If I've already given away, you are definitely a race fan. America's oldest hill climb, I think. At least certainly the most famous one. It
Yes.
is second only for longevity to the Indy 500. So
Yeah.
it is the Pikes Peak International Race, which
Yes.
takes place in Colorado.
Steve wants to talk about racing. I am so confused and
But
intrigued.
technically, it's kind of a hike. It's yes, it's racing, but you're going up one at a time, which I feel like is how most races should be done. It's safer. They've also paved it now, but we'll talk about that later. But it is the most famous hill climb in the world. You've got some numbers here for me to ruin the romance, so go
But
ahead.
real, so a hill climb is kind of your style. You want this one at a time. I'm racing the clock.
It's a very kind of European thing,
It is.
because obviously you wouldn't do a hill descent, right? It would just be burning your brakes and not doing well. That would be interesting to do it once if they race down, but I don't think anyone would survive. But hill climbs happen all over the world. It's not super popular in the US, but it's a great way to test driver skill. It's something that not any car can do, but does give advantage to a lighter car, and does highlight driver skill, because at a certain point, no matter how much horsepower you have, it doesn't make that much more of a difference.
Yeah, hill climbs are fun. I think they are much bigger in Europe and the UK. A bit easier to organize, right? You need a couple people. You just close off the road for an afternoon as long as there's ways around it. You don't need like a dedicated racetrack with grandstands and all that. Like it's a lot easier to put on, and depending on how dangerous the hill is, they're fairly safe, unless it's on a cliff like Pike's Peak is, which is a very dangerous race.
We're gonna talk about that.
Yes, we are. So
But
you want the numbers? You want some history?
yeah, give me some
Oh,
numbers.
my favorite. So Pike's Peak International Hill Climb. This is a yearly hill climb that takes place in Colorado, just outside of Colorado Springs. It is 12.42 miles long, and in that 12 miles, there are over 156 turns. Most of those zero guardrail.
Yes.
And it is not a gentle slope. If you go over, and some people have, you're done. There's huge boulders. Once you get high enough, zero trees to kind of slow you down. It is very dangerous, and multiple people
Very,
have died on this race.
very dangerous, very rocky. The weather can change from the bottom to the top. So you might start in sun and end in snow. Again, no guardrails. Up until recently, it used to be dirt after a certain part. So there's a large portion of it, that was dirt, which was even crazier because you'd be going from asphalt to dirt until they eventually just paved all of it.
Which is super interesting to me. So the entire hill climb spans 4,720 feet of elevation. That's altitude change from the bottom to the top. You're climbing almost 5,000 feet in your car. Your car has to be able to deal with the amount of air it's going to get at the bottom of the hill climb all the way up to the top. You're going to about half the altitude of Mount Everest. You're quite high up. Your car has to be able to deal with that. And yes, the weather completely changes. And about for most of this race's lifetime, half of the track was just dirt. And it was the top half, the hard half. So
The first 6 miles were paved, roughly in the 50s. They didn't finish paving all the way to the top till 2011.
Correct. So, crazy race. Really fascinating though.
So the weather is crazy. And so it can just totally fog in. It can totally turn to ice. It's wild.
So one of the nicknames of this race is the Race to the Clouds. And that is because you will be driving through clouds, weather permitting, like going through a fog, because you're going to the same level that clouds are circulating in Colorado. So you also have zero visibility and a slightly damp track to deal with, which is just hilarious.
What I like is that it was started as a stunt to publicize the opening of a private toll road.
Yeah, it makes sense. So this in
What a time to
1960,
live.
I know, in 1916, this guy, I guess, owned the land of Pike's Peak, and
Spencer something, something.
I don't think I took his name. And so he made his own road, obviously only up, 6 of the 12 miles. He paved his own road, and figured this is going to be great for tourism. I will just it'll just be a toll road for people to go up the mountain and be the top of this. I think the highest point in Colorado. Anyway, a very tall mountain is all that matters. People will be able to go to the top, tourists will go, and they'll pay me, and that's why I graded this and paved some of it. But to publicize it, he's like, you know what you do when you have a new road? You race.
Exactly. Those were the days. Like, you'd never be able to pull this off. Do you know why it was paved, by the way? Do you know who sued them?
Yes. So in there was a years-long battle with the Sierra Club. And their contention was all the gravel and the dirt that was set up on the last 6 miles was washing into the streams and rivers and polluting everything. Because it's not like they just took a bulldozer up the top of the mountain. Like, they would continually put down new gravel, because it was, you know, for every other day of the year, this Pikes Peak Road can be driven by any car to get to the top of the mountain and take your Instagram pictures.
Which
So it
is
was,
very important.
yeah, it was a maintained gravel track, which means they would ship in gravel and keep it, you know, nice, and that would, you know, wash into the streams. And so the Sierra Club sued for the natural environment. They ended up winning, and they started paving it in, ooh, I had it down. They started paving it in
Not important. It finished in 2011. It took a while.
2002. So basically, well, my point why it's important to me is they started paving it in 2002 and they didn't finish till 2011. So even then, they were like slow rolling it. They were just like, okay, hey, we did 2 feet this year. What do you want?
But it's again, it's fairly treacherous. So, speaking of racing, do you want to talk about the current record?
Yes, this is great. So, currently the record up this 12 miles, 5,000 feet is 7 minutes, 57 seconds. This was set in, I think, it was pretty recent. I had it somewhere else. 2008? Where is it?
2018.
2018. I knew there was an eight in there. 2018 by Romain Dumas in a VW IDR. This was a spec racer, a hypercar VW that they took to like World Endurance Challenge and things like that. This was like a no rules electric race car. It looked wild, and it took the record, and it still holds it, even, you know, what, 6 years later.
So that was the year that I was there. And
2018, okay.
yeah, this machine that they drove up there, when it took off, I mean, you'd think it was just going to fly up, like literally take off from the ground. The contraption they used, the amount of power and energy to charge all the batteries, you weren't looking at it and thinking, oh, that's efficient. That's good for the, I mean, it looked like NASA had landed on Pikes Peak, the way they were charging the generators they had just to get it up there, was unbelievable. It's, and I don't know if they've taken it anywhere else,
They did it. They did
because
like a year with this car. I remember it. They were taking it to all the racetracks and beating records, or at least competing for them. And then they took it to Pikes Peak and like set it up for that. So there was like a 1 year in 2018, 2017, when they were like showcasing this new electric drivetrain from VW that was eventually gonna, you know, be in the Golf and the ID Buzz. That's what this was. So it never really competed. It just went around the world and raced on its own for time attack.
so the battery was a quarter of the car's mass. Yeah. The Porsche Taycan runs 800 volts, which is double the EV average. The IDR back in 2018 was running 915. It takes 20 minutes to charge it.
Okay, it's
And
not
it's
bad.
run on something called glycerin, which sounds super safe, but it's a byproduct of biodiesel. So it only needed, So 20% of the energy it needed to get to the top, it got from regeneration under braking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, so like I mentioned, with a 5,000 foot change in altitude between the bottom and the top of this race, normal combustion engines really struggle. You know, carburetors really tough. Even with modern fuel injection, you know, it's really hard for your car to compensate for that, to have that wide of a range of air going into your engine. So in the last, I don't know, 5 years, electric cars have really started to dominate Pikes Peak as far as the records go. There's still a minority of entrants into the race, but electric cars are now getting all the records because they don't care what elevation they're at. As long as you have enough charge in them to get up the 12 miles, then you're fine.
So, do you remember the Bloodhound? Remember that
Oh, the
crazy?
SCC Bloodhound, whatever. Yeah, the world record.
It took 4.5 seconds to get to 100 miles an hour. The Volkswagen does it in 3.7. Crazy.
Is awesome. And that is why that record still stands.
Do you know what second place is for that record?
Okay, so the record is 7 minutes, 57 seconds. Second place, I'll give you 8:30.
No, it's a minute difference.
Really?
A minute.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Wow. Okay.
Pretty wild.
Do you have any firsthand experience on Pikes Peak?
I definitely drove to the top of Pikes Peak. So I went to the race 1 year,
To be clear,
2018.
you drove not during a race weekend.
Yes,
You
yes.
just, when it's open the rest of the year. Okay.
I'm gonna guess the time it's a lot to drive up there. So
Yes.
I was driving
12 miles sounds easy, but 156 turns and it's a 7% grade most of the time. Like,
it's a lot.
it's aggressive.
I was driving the old Porsche, the old 997, and
Back when you had class.
back when I was just no, it wasn't class. Back when I had dreams. And it was a lot. And it was during the summer, so it wasn't snowy or whatever. But I believe it was paved all the way up, I think. So they must have been done with it by then. But it was definitely, and you get all the way to the top and there wasn't anything up there. So I was like, oh, well.
No, you're just going for the view.
And a lot of people had hiked up there, and I was like, oh, well, okay. But it was, and then of course, what no one talks about is you got to drive back down, which was actually hairier than going
Yes.
up.
Yeah, going down is terrifying.
So, it was probably like a full day to get up and down, it felt like.
Yeah, it would. It would. You think it's going to be, oh, I'll just hit this in the afternoon and go. No, that's going to take a majority of your day. Because you're going, 30 miles an hour or less with how tight those turns are.
No, it was wild.
Yeah.
So, and it's way high, and the road is not that big,
No.
and so it's a yeah, it's a two-lane road. So when you're going up, you're on the outside. So you're like right there, and I'm like, I can't imagine racing up it. So,
No.
but let's hear about your blogger story. Go ahead.
I have been to, well, have you ever been to the race?
Yes, I said that. I was there when he won the set the record.
Yeah, but you didn't tell any story about it. You just said you were there. What were
Oh,
you
well,
doing there?
I was working. Yeah, we were.
Gross. What's that about?
No idea. No idea. What were we doing? Let me think. I have no idea. I don't have no idea why I was there. But I think I was working. What were we
Okay.
doing? Let me think. Maybe something for Ducati?
Yeah.
That would make sense. They're racing motorbikes up there.
Sure.
I think
Even
that's what it
more
was.
terrifying.
Yeah. Oh no, these guys were insane.
Goodness.
So, yeah.
Well, I covered Pikes Peak as one of my first automotive journalist activities way back in the day. This was 2011. This might have been maybe the second event I went to. I'd done a couple test cars. I had covered a race at the Salt Lake track, and then I went to Pikes Peak and covered that race. So really early days, and I didn't know what I was doing, much like today. And I wanted the start line were all the quote unquote pits, i.e. just, people's canopies for their cars. It's okay, and that's where you can meet the drivers, meet the teams, and see what's going on. But I wanted my 1980s rally experience. I wanted the cars 2 feet from me at speed, dodging rocks. Like, that's what I wanted. So I started walking up the course while the race was going, which you can do. It's totally open to spectators. There's no grandstands. You just sit there on the side of the road, much like 80s rally, and you get as close as you feel is responsible. So I started walking up the
Wow.
mountain, and I ended up on that day walking the entire course
To the top?
to the top.
Boy, you were fit back then.
I hadn't eaten anything all day, and I was getting very dizzy and
I don't believe
uncomfortable,
this story. There's you not eating, I don't believe this story.
and I kind of freaked myself out. There was like a little 3/4 of the way up, there's this weird little cafe. And I like stopped and got like a croissant or something. And that's when I realized like I didn't eat breakfast because the race starts so early in the morning. I had to get out. And then I was like, this was really dumb to walk, round trip, 24 miles on no food at this elevation. Like, this was a dumb thing. So I kind of got my composure back, but it was amazing to be that close to these cars just zooming by. You could get as close as you wanted, and it was so much fun. And just like all these rally videos, you hear the car coming 3, 4 turns away. So you can get into a good spot, post up, and watch it just zoom past you. And then you immediately have to turn because all the gravel is going to be spit at you. So you have to avoid that. So I went the last year there was still dirt section. And it was an amazing experience. And I have not been back since.
I don't know if you can do that anymore.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. I don't know. But before, yeah, you could just walk it.
Yeah, all the spectators doesn't. Yeah, I don't think you can. Yeah, no spectators allowed anywhere along the course. Yeah, so you can. Yeah.
Well, in my generation, we were tougher. It was a different time, so it was fine.
I don't believe it, but okay.
Yeah.
So the real reason I wanted to talk about this is there is a project I'll be working on with Rob Dom, and he's a car builder. You've probably seen him on YouTube, a YouTube influencer, shall we say. He has never raced up Pikes Peak, but he has managed to convince them that he's capable. So he's building a car specifically for the race, and he's gonna train on a sim, having never raced the course when he gets there.
So you're helping a YouTuber go up Pikes Peak.
I wouldn't say help. I'm probably just in the same building where the project's being worked on. How's that?
Making sure all the fonts are right. Okay.
Yeah. I'll be working on the Google Slides, is
Okay.
let's be realistic. Yeah. So,
Well, that's cool that you're going to be complicit in this man's murder. That's fun.
it's funny when, not funny, I guess, when he put the video out and signed up immediately, had a bunch of racers contact him and be like, "This is no joke. This is a very serious thing. Like, this isn't just going racing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. So please tell me you're taking it seriously."
Yeah.
I think he'd applied previously and they said, "No, sorry. You have to show some sort of evidence of race practice. So he spent like a year getting seat time behind anything he could get into, racing, driving, whatever, in order to qualify. And they said, okay. So,
See, that's what I did. I spent my 6 months racing. Now I'm ready for Le Mans.
I don't see it. I don't see it. So that was the main reason I started getting more into Pikes Peak, but it's a crazy race.
So what you're saying is this entire episode has been a tax write-off for you because you're working and you're learning about this race that you're about to do.
I don't make enough money to pay taxes, I feel like.
I feel like you just admitted to a crime, so we're gonna move on. Well, Rob Dom might become famous for one reason or another on Pikes Peak, but there are a couple of really famous racers I want to talk about really fast. First, there's Rod Millen, the New Zealander. You might know him as the father of Rice Millen, famous drifter and racer. But Rod Millen, huge in SCCA and sports car racing from the 60s all the way up to the 2000s. Really big name. Well, he's a legend on Pikes Peak because he won his class in 1989, 1991, and 1992. Second overall in 1993. 1994 broke the overall record by a full 40 seconds with a 10-minute time in an all-wheel drive Toyota Celica. That record from 1994 wouldn't be broken until 2007. Think about that. That's nuts. He also had the fastest overall on the time for that year four more times, 96, 97, 98, 99. So just in a row, he's just putting down fast times, but was never able to beat the 10-minute mark. That he got so close to in 1994. He was never able to surpass that. Millen and his wife became the first husband and wife team to
Amazing.
Compete on the hill. And he also became the first father and son with his son Rice to win overall titles on the hill. So,
So
big name.
you did skip a name, which I'm disappointed in you more than usual, since you are a said rally fan. Have you ever heard of a video, shall we say, called Climb Dance?
Yes, yes, and I did not put it in this episode, but you feel free to tell me all about it.
No, I'm disappointed in you. I feel like I don't know if it's just because you are only on the American list, I guess, maybe. Anyway, I'm gonna say his name wrong. It's Ari Vatanen. I don't know. I think that's
Don't come to me, man. I'm Polish.
In 1988, he ran the race in his Peugeot 405 T16. It's on dirt. The record he held the record, I guess, for a few years till Rod beat it. But the video is amazing. You have to
Yes.
watch it. It's called Climb Dance.
This is up there with Fascination from the what, 2000s, 90s, and Senna's Lap of Monaco. Like, this is one of those formative videos that it will blow your mind.
And what's amazing is
Is
that,
it on the YouTube now?
Yeah.
Yeah, go do that right now. Stop, pause this episode and go watch Climb Dance.
Don't even come back. Just watch it. And and so he like it's dirt and he's literally racing into the sun. And as he's driving it one-handed, he's holding his hand over his like visor for shade as he comes around some of the. It's awesome. It's so awesome.
It's a climb
It's
dance, right? Or cloud dance?
Climb Dance,
Climb dance. Okay. Yeah. Definitely go watch that.
It's unreal. And so it's all on gravel.
Yeah.
One of the best drivers in rally history, definitely worth a watch, so super cool. Anyway, back to your American only list.
I got another famous driver, definitely not American.
Okay.
Does the name Monster Tajima mean anything to you?
I feel like it does because I've been looking at some Pikes Peak stuff, but I don't.
So this Rod Millen was before my time, but Monster Tajima is who I equate with Pikes Peak. And that was like when I came up through automotive journalism, like this was the man who dominated the mountain. In 1993, he competed with a twin-engined something called a Cultus, but anyway, had two engines, which is amazing. And he won in the unlimited division and second overall in 95. Total victory with another twin-engined car and a Scudo. I think these are Suzuki's. And he became the first Japanese driver to win the event ever in, what was that, 95. He was the runner-up in 96, 98, and 99. And then he went on a tear and took seven wins. 2007 overall record. He beat Rod Millen's record of 10.04 with a 10.01. He won again in 2008, 2009, 2010, and then in 2011, he won and finally was the first human to break the 10-minute barrier on Pikes Peak. He did a 9:51. So he took 10 seconds off his best time with a Suzuki SX4 Hill Climb Special.
Did you take a look at what those cars look like?
Yes, they're amazing. It's like, how would I describe this? If you took a NASCAR body shell, because it's like NASCAR shells are like one piece you literally put on the car, like a little remote control car, right? It's just a little thing you put on top. So they look like that, but designed by an early 2000s Fast and Furious fan, because everything is wings and dive planes, and it's just close to the ground, and they're amazing looking.
Basically a video game.
Yes. Yes. Monster Tajima has recently switched over to EVs, where he has set a number of new records as well, and he's still racing the mountain.
I want to take us back in time again, just for one other story,
Sure.
because we're
Hey, it's
both
your podcast. We got all the time in the world.
that's true. Because we're both Group B fans,
Yes.
and there has only been, I believe, one woman who's ever won at Pikes Peak.
Yes, I believe that's correct, which is a shame.
Yeah, and it's Michelle Mouton.
Oh, legend.
Yes, and so again, watch this video
This
of the
was
Audi.
a Quattro. This was peak Michelle Mouton years, and she came to do Pikes Peak in the Audi Quattro.
Yep, and the livery is amazing, the driving's amazing, the footage is amazing, and to this day is the only woman I believe that has won at Pikes Peak.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. I think the next person oh yeah, so three, I think a few months ago, Leah Block went up for Audi, and they talked about the change in the cars from those last several decades.
Yeah.
Also worth a watch, but anyway, I wanted to give a little credit because Group B is amazing,
Yes.
which also had a 308 in it, but we'll talk about
Oh, great. There's the Ferrari connection I've been waiting for. I got some trivia for you.
do it. Hit me.
So the mountain is called Pikes Peak. That is because it's named after someone whose name you will not guess. Pikes Peak is named after a Mr. Zebulon Montgomery Pike. This was a U.S. Army officer who was credited with discovering the mountain, at least for white people, in the
Yes.
1800s.
I mean, how hard was it to find?
Yeah, but let's not skip over it. His first name is Zebulon.
Why can't they call it Zebulon Peak?
I wish. I
Like
wish.
Zeb Peak
Yeah.
or Peak Zeb?
So it's called Pike's Peak because of Zebulon Montgomery Pike, which is now the name of my first child.
Zebulon.
Zebulon Montgomery Pike.
That's
That's a
gotta be
strong name.
an Avenger.
The song that we all listened to in elementary school, America the Beautiful. Anything? Anything? Okay. That was written about Pike's Peak.
Oh, amazing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
The writer, a woman whose name I don't have in front of me,
Nice.
she her cabin had like a view of Pike's Peak, and so that
Pretty high
inspired.
quality research we got going on here
Yeah,
on the
exactly.
pod, which
So
is
that inspired this song.
okay.
You've got some Ford van you want to talk about.
I just thought it was hilarious that Ford, when they went to go do this, to do that, set their record one of many times, they used a super performance van. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's literally a minivan
A tall, heavy.
that they put a massive wing on, and it's an actual super van. So,
Hey, in the world of marketing, they got you talking about it, so.
This is true. This is true. And it's essentially a Ford Transit, that has a huge engine in it. And so they took a Ford Transit van and put it on top of a chassis and engine of a Ford GT40.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So that gave it about 440 horsepower.
Yeah. That's excellent. The reason things like that van and two-engined cars from Monster Tajima and EVs can race, and I love this, is because Pikes Peak is what you would call self-sanctioned. This isn't the FIA. This isn't SCCA or NASA. This is just, hey guys, we're gonna do a race and you gotta come to us for the rules and we'll make them whatever we want. So it's not part of anyone's calendar. It's not part of a series. It's just a self-sanctioned race that you can show up with whatever you want. And it's just about bragging rights, which is pretty
It's
great.
essentially like the slam dunk contest.
Yes. Yeah, it
That's
is.
basically the it's not even really like an all-star game.
I'm sure all the people who have lost their lives during this race would really appreciate you comparing that to a dunk
I mean, the concept is the same. Like, it's outside of the
contest.
season. Slightly more dangerous, but
Yep. Since 1916, the race has occurred every single year but six, and most of those was because there was one or two world wars happening. So,
World
every year but
disagreement.
six since 1916, that's pretty good.
Tough for Audi and Porsche to get over here.
It is the second oldest regularly scheduled race in the United States. Only the Indianapolis 500 is older than this race.
So this
So by
June,
process of elimination, this has to be the oldest hill climb slash rally in America.
This June is when it's running again. It'll be
That's
the
right.
102nd running of the race.
Yep, June 23rd of this year, we are going to get the 120th running of the, wait for it, officially known as the Broadmoor International Pikes Peak Hill Climb presented by Gran Turismo. That's the title. But you and
Do
me,
they?
we can just call it the Race to the Clouds.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I wonder. Yeah, so their Pikes Peak is in Gran Turismo.
That makes sense.
But only a part of the real track is used, and I think it's dirt still in the game.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. There was a art my boy Rod Millen, massive record holder here. When they started paving it, he was completely against it. And he said, look, this is gonna make the race so much more dangerous. And what he meant by that was, one, people can go harder because it's pavement. And two, back in the day when half the course was dirt, you had to do the first half on all-terrain tires. Like you can't, switch tires halfway through. You just have to pick a set, and you have to pick the set that's going to work on dirt. So you had really grippy, knobbly tires on the pavement to get you to the dirt section, and it kind of slowed people down. And then obviously, the dirt is going to slow you down as well. So his point was like, if it's fully paved, it's going to be so much more dangerous, and this race is going to die, and no one's going to be interested anymore. And he was 100% wrong. Yes, times have gone down, but it is safer now, and it is more popular than it has ever been. And that started when it was fully paved, because people could just set up a road car and come and try to take a title. So my boy Rod was very wrong about that. But that's okay. He's still got a lot of titles.
It looks like six people have died at Pikes Peak since the event.
Okay. I believe our most recent one was a motorcyclist, which...
Four of them were motorcycle.
Yeah. If we've been talking about how crazy, like, again, no guardrails, huge boulders that you're going to land in, and to do that in a motorcycle?
Mm-hmm.
If memory serves, the year I went, there were not only bikes, but there were the bikes with the sidecars with two people in them. You know, one person in the sidecar, one person on the motorcycle. Yeah. That's even crazier, where the guy has to lean all the way. Like, that's what was, I swear that was happening my year that I went. It's just the scariest looking thing.
But yeah, wild. To each their own. Anyway.
So six people have died in this race. Nuts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you find for us on YouTube for Pikes Peak?
I did a little research for once, and it is Ken Block with his unicorn.
Again, you did research because you're basically being paid to do the research this time.
47 million views.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I remember this video. This was just a closed course. He went up and had some fun for one of his Gymkhanas.
And got very close to the edge.
Yes. Advertising. No advertising for Pikes Peak. It's a race.
It doesn't really count. Not really. I looked at some of the posters. They do a poster every year.
Sure.
Some pretty fun stuff, but nothing good to read.
Okay.
No headlines. Yeah.
This will surprise you to know it has been in movies and TV.
Ooh.
Although just one. They filmed a big section of Fast and Furious 7, also known as just Furious 7, on Pikes Peak.
Huh.
And that's all I found.
I don't remember that, but you watch those. You and Christopher Nolan are huge.
I mean, I just call him Chris. He's a good friend. But yeah, we get together and we watch Fast and Furious movies and talk about family.
Mm-hmm.
We have some famous people that have tackled the mountain. Most of these are drivers.
These are the ones that we talked about. Paul Newman.
Yes. He's famous and a driver.
Michelle, we already talked about.
Michelle Mouton. Aunt Anstead, this is the second co-host of Wheeler Dealers, if you remember him. Ken Block, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mario Andretti and Bobby Unser.
Yes. Yeah. The Unsers, the whole Unser family, had a big period where they were competing very highly at the mountain. I don't remember if they did any records, but it was also known as like Unser Mountain or something for a while, because three or four of the family would show up and they were doing quite well. I don't think they took records, but they were taking wins. And this was like Bobby Unser's mountain for a bit.
All
including
right.
Al Unser Jr. He competed here as well.
Anybody else?
That's all I got.
I will say, in my research, I watch, do you know a host named Guy Martin?
I absolutely know Guy Martin.
I feel like if you were smarter, fitter, and more successful, you would be him. And a better driver.
Don't forget about the facial hair.
No, that's what you need.
Big old lamb chops.
But he built his own motorcycle, customized for the race, and took it on. So
he is a motorcycle racer slash mechanic on big rigs, which is hilarious. And he is incredible. I highly recommend you YouTube any of his stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's done Pikes Peak.
Yeah, so I think you should watch that, build a bike, and then take on the peak.
Why don't I just do it myself?
No.
You don't want to get rid of me?
I feel like the phone calls and then the oil change night, this like wander well thing, and then, you know, people would get upset. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now that you're there, like Svengali or whatever they call him. Yeah.
I'll take that nickname.
Yeah, I know you will.
All right, Steve. If you had to do Pikes Peak, if you had the racing chops, what would be the ultimate car for you to take up the mountain?
Technically, as since I am the only one out of the pair that has summited in a vehicle,
That's true.
I have the
That's
most
true.
racing experience on Pike's Peak.
You did okay, that is too far. You have the most driving experience on Pikes Peak.
I will say the first few miles I gave it a shot because there was no one on the mountain.
Yeah.
And when I got my ticket or whatever, or was going on it, the guy was like, he goes, yeah, he goes, go for it. He's like, there's no one on the remote. There's no one here. So yeah, give it a shot. And I mean, I totally like terrified myself and just gave up. And then I was just like, I don't even want to go to the top of this thing. And then I was like, I don't know where you turn around.
Yeah,
So
you can't. It's a two-lane road. There's not enough
yeah.
room.
There's no like turnout. I was just like, oh
No.
my God. Yeah. So I thought about this a lot. I wanted to give something rational, something that our listeners could be like, okay, you know what? That makes sense. And also,
Ford minivan.
I want to celebrate the dirt era because that's the most fun. So I think you should get a Group B racer because
Sure.
that's where all the fun videos were made.
Sure.
So, and everyone knows that if your car wasn't in Group B, it's not a real sports car. So
Is that what
I.
everyone knows?
Yeah, that's actually what it said under Group B when you entered. So I chose a 70s 308 GTB, the Micheletto, I'm going to say it wrong, the Micheletto ones that they actually prepped for Group B that you can find like replicas. And that's what you want to race. It's got like mud flaps, which is silly on a paved road, but I'd still do it. That's what I would take up there.
Of course, a Ferrari 308. Of course you would.
This is the one time it works.
Aren't you in a creative industry? Shouldn't you be creative?
No, I work in advertising.
Like any time you pick a Ferrari, and especially a 308, you're wrong. You wouldn't want to. You one, you're gonna break down halfway up the mountain, and then they're gonna have to tow you down. You don't want to do that. You want something reliable. You want something Japanese. This was a tough one to decide what I would take up Pikes Peak. My first reaction is all-wheel drive.
Interesting.
And that narrows it down. I normally don't like all-wheel drive cars. I like rear-wheel drive, but for Pikes Peak, I'm not messing around. I'm not trying to die. So all-wheel drive. So I think, Audi R8. Not that interesting. 911 turbo, too much. I think what you want is this mountain is a hero. You want to bring a hero car. My preferred drive for the Pikes Peak Hill Climb would be an R34 GTR.
Are you going to go left-hand drive or right-hand drive?
I think I gotta go right-hand drive.
That will be terrifying.
Yes. All right, fine. Left-hand drive. Left-hand drive. We'll do it American style just so I can. But I mean, like, you can drive in the center of the road. It's a racetrack during that event, so it doesn't really
That's
matter.
true. That's true. Yeah.
But I think the more familiarity you have with the situation, the better. So probably left-hand drive. I would be happy with any spec of GTR. It doesn't have to be the Nürburgring edition, any of that stuff, the NUR3, any of that. Just any R34. What a memory that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it's no 308, but I get it. I get it. So, being honest, I know it's gonna be a struggle, but the record is what? What did we learn?
Oh, the current one is 7 minutes. We're down to 7:57 something. Oh,
What
five.
would what do you think it would take you to get up
Shut
there? Yeah.
I mean, when they started running this race in 1916,
Yeah.
it was 20 minutes. It was 20 minutes to get to the top, and these were, this was open wheel, super skinny tire, turn of the century cars. So I gotta be able to beat 20 minutes, right? But can I beat 10? No way. So let's
I don't
just.
think you couldn't beat 20. There's no way.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm giving myself 15. Double the current record.
No chance. Not, no. No. Hang on. Like, talk about something.
Talk about something. What are you looking up? Last year's results? Because that's what I'm gonna look up.
That's what I'm doing because there's
Right, I'll
no
let you do
way.
it. I think I'm doing it in 15 minutes. I got an all-wheel drive GTR. Come on. And it's fully paved. I'll do fully paved, but I don't care. Although I would definitely prefer the dirt, for sure. But it'd slow you down and I'd be a lot more scared. But yeah. I'll
Okay,
do fully paved.
I'm gonna find someone who's at 15 minutes. And
Remember,
this,
Steve,
okay.
I am a certified and licensed racing driver.
You know what? You know what? You know who I'm gonna find? Hang on. I'm gonna, yeah.
Have you not found the race results yet? This is taking
Wait,
you bad at
no.
Google.
I'm looking for a very specific driver. Okay, hang on.
I'm waiting, man. I'm looking through our normal topics and deciding what to cover because this is
Okay,
tough.
okay. Let's see. Oh, that's what we need to do. So we need to hang on.
I'm sure everyone is enjoying listening you research.
Stop it. Stop it. I keep getting running results because there's a foot race to the top, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was like, oh, you could probably beat that.
I'll go through some of the categories. If this race was a political party, what would it be? Republican. It's outdoors. It fought the Sierra Club for years,
Yeah,
and people die
that's
all the
true.
time.
And
It's
it's bad for the environment.
bad for the environment. Would I take a date to Pikes Peak? No, I would not. It's too much of an ordeal, whether you're watching the race or driving it like
You
Steve did
wouldn't
on
do a
your off
little
hours.
picnic at the top?
No, because it's going to take you all day to get to the top. So, no, I would not take a date.
Hang on. Let's see.
Is there anything comparable to Pikes Peak in the Alps? Not to my knowledge. Even other rallies are just much more organized and safe than this. This is the real deal still. This is kind of our version of Dakar, where people die all the time and everyone's just kind of okay with that. And that's how we do it on Pikes Peak.
All
So
right, so you're saying you could do it in 15?
I am hand to chest, I could do this in 15 minutes.
Johnny Lieberman did it in 13 and a half.
Oh,
Do you think you could
I
beat
am
that?
gonna swear at you. How dare you invoke his name?
Let me see
In
where you're
what?
at. He did it in a Cayman, like a
Dude, that
race
guy's
prep
fat
thing.
as hell. There's no way I couldn't beat him.
Be nice, be
And he
nice.
wears
He's
flip-flops to go driving.
That's also true.
So
That's
I gotta
also.
beat 13 minutes in a Cayman? Oh, screw that guy. All right. I'm going tomorrow. You have lit a fire under me.
Let's see who this guy is. Oh, these are exhibitions. So, yeah, the exhibition drivers, which I don't know what that means, if they just do it for fun.
Yes.
Were 15 and a half minutes.
Yes.
So,
I gotta beat 13 minutes now.
yeah.
All right, it's on.
Well, 13 and a half. I'll give you some wiggle room.
Thank you. When
Yeah.
did he do that?
2022.
Was this during the race or this is a special thing?
It was during the race.
He competed? Man, there's things about Johnny Lieberman I didn't know.
Well, I mean, you got to leave the house a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, I didn't know he could, I didn't know he was licensed to race. I didn't know he ever turned a wheel competitively. I mean, to qualify for the race, he clearly must have.
He's been on a lot of track time, though.
It's true, but you know, after the buffet that Volkswagen gives you, like that's what he's doing. All right, whatever. Impact of Pikes Peak on car culture, too small. Too small of an impact. I don't think this gets the press that it should, but it's really, really hard to cover as a journalist. Where do you sit? At the end and report times at the beginning when before people crash? Like, it's
I
not a
mean,
loop where you can see what's going on.
Would you not take your car on a date, though? I feel like you would.
No, absolutely not. Again, it's too.
Your R34? No?
Would I take my R34 on a date? Yes. Would I take a date to Pike's Peak? No.
Oh, that's the
What are we
question.
talking about here?
Okay. Well, it's just the vehicle, but yeah.
No, we're talking about Pikes Peak.
Okay, that's all right. All right.
I wish Pikes Peak had a bigger impact on car culture, as it were. But again, it's just super hard to cover for the press, so it's just kind of quiet. And if you know, you know. And that's too bad.
There used to be,
But maybe it being in Gran Turismo will
there's
help.
now something at the, there's now a Summit House restaurant that serves world famous donuts. So you could get a cheap date up there. I'm just saying. I'm just
The
saying.
problem wasn't the money, Steve. The problem is time.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're saying you can get up there in 15 minutes, I've seen you eat donuts. You're back down in under an hour.
Think there is any popular perception of Pikes Peak.
No.
Yeah. Is the race going to continue being an American classic? I think so. It's only getting more popular, which is good.
That I hadn't read, but maybe, yeah.
I mean, by popular, I mean there's more entrants.
Sure, and there's something at the top now,
And the
and
entrances are getting more high dollar. I guess that's what
that's
I mean
true.
by popularity. So the marketing dollars are going after it. What else? What would you change about your 308 Michelotto?
I feel like that there's going to be some issue with the carburetors
Yes.
as I approach higher
So you're
altitudes.
gonna have to jet it for the altitude, which means it's gonna be way too rich at the beginning.
Which I
And
love because it just smells.
you're gonna be bogging down. Like, it's gonna have to be so rich.
And so I
And then you're
feel
gonna run
like.
like maybe you're gonna lose a quarter to a half of your horsepower by the time you get to the top.
So that's going to leave me with like 12 horses to get to the top. So my concern with my car is that it might not have been the best choice.
Yes. My thought along those same lines is I'm taking, a dream car for a lot of people, a Hero, an R34 GTR. But my thinking is if I crash it, I make even more news. If I go off the hill and that turns into my coffin, then I'm that idiot that crashed an R34 GTR
You're
on
gonna
Pikes
t
Peak.
you're gonna take a Rupert Murdoch approach to news that fake news still sells papers. So yeah.
Would you take your 308 up the mountain?
Oh man.
Would you race me in the 911 up that mountain? Time, not at the same time. We'll still do it like Pikes Peak. We'll time it.
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable on Kanan. But I feel like.
This might be best in class's first on location is you and me racing up
I
Pikes
don't
Peak.
know if the Ferrari would make it.
Of
Like,
course it
he.
wouldn't.
I mean, technically, carbureted cars have made it up there back in the day, right?
Exactly. You would just have to set it up for it. But your car isn't carbureted, it's injected.
No, it's not.
Yours is carbureted?
The three, yeah. It's like we're strangers. Yeah, this is how Niki Lauda wanted it.
You never bring your car around to anything. It lives in a hermetic bubble. How am I supposed to
That
know
is
about
not
it?
true. That is the other guy.
You and
That
Warren
is.
just run
No,
feathers over your
how
car
dare
and
you? How
burn
dare you?
crystals or whatever you do to Ferraris. I don't
Oh,
know.
he's my Johnny Lieberman. One fun thing about Pikes Peak we don't talk about is apparently they have seen Bigfoot.
God. had to bring in the conspiracies, didn't you?
So there is a Bigfoot crossing sign as you go up the mountain. So I feel like that's the most important part of this. But I don't know if it's a carbureted journey up there would be a lot.
Yep.
That might have to be something.
So I guess the 9/11 wins.
When, not really. Like, I've already won before we start, but in a contest, yeah, you might. This might be something your car could beat me at, I say. Yeah.
All right, Steve. We are at more than an hour. You tell me. Why is the Micheletto 308 with mud flaps? I haven't forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that the best car to take up Pikes Peak?
Other than it struggling to get up there, I mean, I'd have to speed up the film when I was, you know, it would look amazing and it would sound fantastic the first little bit. And that would, for me, that would just be awesome to do it in something like that. I know it should be in dirt, but I just think it would be fun. But it's the absolute worst now. Yeah, it would never make it.
Yeah.
It would be miserable. But
Pikes Peak is a dream race. And what you show up to do a dream race is a dream car. What you should bring, which I can't believe has never, well, I can't say it's never been up there, but I didn't see anyone who's done it. You want an R34 GTR, all-wheel drive, plenty of power, as much as you want to tune into it, and just go up the mountain, and you're either going to put down a really good time, or you're going to go off the mountain and make all of the automotive press, because everyone will hate you for ruining the car. That's what you want to bring. Either way, you're going to make history. That's the best car.
So hang on a second. I might, no. Yeah. If you can get a later GTB, then it's dual injected.
Still on this.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to be okay. It'll be dry sump. So there's that. I think, yeah. So I just need to get a later one, then I'll be all right.
You're such a Ferrari nerd.
Yeah. So are you have any plans to go to the race anytime soon?
Pikes Peak?
Yeah.
No, I did it once. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Never again?
Never again.
But not, okay. All right.
I went the last year. It still had dirt. Why would I go back?
That's true.
This is the ultimate hipster I was there race. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was there the year Monster broke 10 minutes. So
I
can never go back.
It's kind of slow. I mean, I was there for, I beat you at that too. I was there for 8 minutes. what was I going to say? What's a race that you haven't been to real quick that you want to go to?
Oh, Le Mans.
Okay. All right.
I have not been to Le Mans and I would love to go. I want to do the full camping, the whole thing.
Have you been to the track?
No, I have not.
No, nothing. Okay. Okay.
No. I'm actually, by law, not allowed to leave the state at the moment, so I can't be going to Europe.
Doesn't surprise me at all because of all the oil you've been dumping on your alley.
It's true.
All right, Adam. Thanks for humoring me and letting me pick basically our
first coverage of a race.
Our first track, our first best in class track. Yeah, essentially.
That's true. That's true.
So you can pick tracks now. So yeah. There you go.
We've opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steve. I can't wait to come up with something creative for next week just to kind of outdo you.
That's unlikely, but I look forward to it. And we have some other guests coming. We're always thankful for our guests.
And of course, if you want to come on, just hit us up on the socials and we will invite you to come on.
And if we've done your car already, we can find something that's
all of our research is wrong all the time anyway, so we can redo it.
And also, if you own the car, you can outweigh us.
Yes.
We're wrong. Yeah.
Wow, so. It'll be the first time anyone's outweighed you, Steve.
Horrible. That was funny though. I gotta end on that. I lost.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Drive well, or whatever we say. All right. See you later.
All right. Bye.